We're going now to the candidates for Assembly Seat D, starting with the incumbent, Matt Klayman. An opening statement of 1 minute, please.
Good evening. It's great to be here tonight. I'm Matt Klayman. I'm running for re-election to the Assembly from West Anchorage because I have the proven leadership, experience, and sound judgment to keep serving West Anchorage on the Assembly, and that's exactly what our city needs. You know, as all of you know, I'm the first person to serve as acting mayor of Anchorage, and so that experience really helps a lot for the Assembly. Two areas that are real priorities for me in working on the Assembly are, first, financial responsibility, and there's no better example of my commitment to financial responsibility than the steps I took to cut the city budget by more than $17 million last January when we faced a major revenue shortfall. A second area of real priority for me is public safety. It's important that we have police officers on the streets doing fine work and firefighters that are available when we call. And an example of my work in public safety is the leadership I took in getting the Sand Lake ambulance on the ballot for this election. So those are just two examples. It's great to be here tonight. Really looking forward to the conversation, and I would appreciate your vote on April 6th.
Well, Len Anderson.
Mr. Klayman, speaking of things budget oriented, should the municipality actively seek alternative tax revenues? And if so, what are they and can they actually be done?
Well, we already have a number of alternative tax revenues. We certainly have the bed tax, which brings a significant amount of money into the city. The city has debated sales tax for a long time. It's been in front of the voters three times. And my perspective on sales tax is if the voters really want it, I'm all behind it. But if the voters don't vote for sales tax, as they have three times by overwhelming margins, we should go forward and work on how to move the city forward, grow the economy, and bring good jobs to the community.
Thank you. Every year we have a number of deaths of homeless people here in Anchorage. We've just had several recently of chronic inebriates. What's the path out of this tragedy?
Well, the tragedy of the homeless deaths, I think, affect all of us. I would like to say that this is an overnight solution, but it hasn't been. It's actually a perfect example of working together. The first real steps in terms of homelessness and taking some change on homelessness was efforts I did as mayor, which was to apply for federal funding in the Recovery Act, and we got over about $750,000 that funds five different positions, four in the nonprofit world, one in the city to help coordinate those four nonprofits. And I think over time, those will make a real difference in how we handle homelessness in the community. And one of the great things is that Mayor Sullivan, one of the first things he did was also get engaged in the homelessness challenge and has continued the programs that I started as mayor. So we're really making progress on that. Every time we see one of those, a report of a homeless death, everyone, I think, in the community is really saddened by the tragedy, but we have to keep moving forward, and I think we're doing that.
The five union contracts that have received a lot of attention, both in the Assembly and in the press, were they an avoidable mistake?
I think the union contracts were fair under all the circumstances. And one of the bright parts about the union discussions was that when we faced a financial shortfall, I went to all eight city bargaining units and asked all of them to make concessions. And I'm really pleased that all of those bargaining units recognized the challenges we faced, and all but one made concessions that saved the city money and really help us move forward as a city. And that's a perfect example to show that, in fact, the unions all work with the city and are more than ready to work with the city so that we can work forward together.
Are we spending about the right amount, too little or too much, on police protection?
Well, on police protection, the biggest challenge we have today is police and fire training. Specifically, well, and since your question's about police training, there is still not a police academy scheduled in 2010, and so far we haven't heard a commitment from the mayor for a police academy in 2011. And the difficulty that presents is that officers retire, officers get injured and can't keep working, and we're having a gradual shrinking of the police force. And if we don't train new police officers, what will happen is the pressure for overtime and the cost for police services will go up. And as the force gets smaller and smaller and we have fewer and fewer officers on the streets, our public safety function will suffer. It's crucial that we invest in police training and that means we need to spend the money for those academies so that we really can provide the public safety that our community demands.
I guess then in a related topic, Mr. Klaiman, do you think the residents of Anchorage feel safe? If not, how do we make them feel safer?
Well, I think there was a reaction throughout the community, and I certainly heard it as I've gone door to door throughout West Anchorage, that when Officer Allen was shot, I think the entire community was really frightened by that, and for good reason, because here's a police officer just in the normal course of duty, and somebody comes up and starts shooting at him. And it's thank God that he is still alive and still with us. And that really frightened people for good reason. We really need to maintain our commitment to public safety.
Okay. As you know, there's been a great deal of concern recently about our natural gas supply, and many people think it's terribly inadequate and the government should do something about it. What can the municipality of Anchorage do?
Well, the most important thing that the municipality of Anchorage can do on gas supply is really work in coordination with the state government, with the governor's office, with the legislature, because it's a statewide problem. It's not something that Anchorage can do on its own. And so that's working together, identifying the problems, figuring out solutions, and really making those decisions in a timely manner. We can't really sit and debate this matter for days and days and weeks. We really have to come up with solutions and move forward with those. And I'm really pleased that, again, that's an effort that we've been working on for more than a year in terms of getting solutions to the natural gas challenge. We are coming up with solutions, we're identifying problems, and we're moving forward.
Local government here in Anchorage is supposed to be, at least nominally, nonpartisan. Yet we often see what looks like partisan behavior, sometimes perhaps getting in the way of things being dealt with from our elected officials. Why the discrepancy?
Well, you know, one of the funny things that I find is sitting in the assembly meetings and studying the actual frequency of votes, the assembly votes unanimously 90% of the time. And that's a real reflection that actually the assembly is really committed to what is doing best for Anchorage. And I think we'd really need to worry about how democracy was functioning if we were unanimous 100% of the time. When we have debate and have differences of opinion, it's actually a reflection of democracy working exceptionally well. And I think we have done that. I often find it kind of a little bit sad and a little bit humorous that I'll come back from an assembly meeting and we will have had 50 different issues on the table, and 49 of those have almost no debate, and we agree unanimously, and there's one issue on which there was meaningful debate and reasonable differences of opinion. We come to a resolution, and I look at the TV news or the newspaper, and the only thing that gets reported is the one thing on which there was differences of opinion. The Assembly gets along very well. We are all committed to what's best for the city, and we're working well together.
Once again, I'm Michael Carey. I'm here with Len Anderson, my co-host. We're meeting the candidates for Assembly Seat D, and right now we're talking to the incumbent, Matt Klaiman. How do you intend to vote on the bond propositions?
I will be supporting all the bond propositions, and the bond proposition that I'm really most encouraged about is the Sand Lake Ambulance, because that is something that will not just help Sand Lake, it's going to improve emergency services throughout the city. And the best example of how that works is when the young girl was stabbed at Service High School a few months ago. The ambulance that responded to Service High was the ambulance from Spinard, because that was the only ambulance in the city that wasn't on call somewhere else. And so it was about 14 minutes for that ambulance to get to service. Adding that ambulance in Sand Lake and having it fully staffed will mean that we will get ambulances there more quickly when people call and need that service.
How important do you feel the Kinnick Arm Bridge project is to the development of Anchorage, the future of Anchorage, and how much public, state, or local money should be used to either directly or to back up the project?
Well, I have consistently been an opponent of the bridge because I don't think it makes economic sense. And it's really interesting that we just approved a long-range fiscal plan and capital plan for the school district, and part of that plan is they are not projecting any population growth for the next 10 years. And so much of the reason people say, let's build the bridge, is the suggestion that Anchorage population is growing rapidly. but we're looking at school district research that shows actually our population is fairly stable. So I think that we don't need the bridge. I don't think it makes economic sense. And if we are going to build the bridge, it really needs to be only private dollars. And if there's really private support for it, if it makes sense in a private financial world, then I think we should consider it. But if it's going to take a massive infusion of public dollars, I think there's better ways to spend public money.
Thank you. Mr. Clayman, what did we learn from the equal rights debate, amendment debate of last summer?
Well, I think we learned that there's a lot of different views in the community, and that when we want to address important issues and important issues like equal rights, that we want to give everyone a chance to be heard, and we did exactly that. So I think it was an example of the community coming forward and participating in democracy, and I was pleased to be a part of that.
The mayor's predicted another year of extreme budget challenges with the term sustainable budget. How practical is that? Are we going to be able to reach it? Where would you see that we slice away?
Well, I think the first thing that we want to do is get a careful look at the mayor's revenue projections. I think one of the interesting parts about how our government functions is we hear from the mayor, but we haven't really gotten any input from anyone else in the community, like, for example, some of the very well-respected economists at the University of Alaska, who might offer us a little more of a different perspective on what our revenue projections will be. We really need to look at that carefully because we want to make sure that the budget we're building is based on sound revenue projections. And so I think that's the first step, is let's really look carefully at what are the revenue projections for the future and then plan consistent with those revenue projections.
Thank you. Do you think the open meetings and public records law here in Anchorage are adequate, or do they need to be changed?
You know, one of the greatest challenges with the open meetings law is that we as an assembly are limited to meeting with only three of us at a time when we're not in session or when it's not noticed. And people often will say, well, why doesn't the assembly get along better at times on some of the more challenging issues? And part of that is because the open meetings law requires that we meet only in public session and that we can't have these kind of behind doors caucus meetings. And so there's two sides. One is that it's really good that the public can see the debate, and then, of course, we get criticized for having the debate. I think the public would probably, in the end, be really unhappy if we had a lot of meetings that the public wasn't invited to and the public wasn't participating in, and seeing kind of the differences amongst members on the assembly and see how we actually work out those compromises, which is really how democracy works, is when different views come to a solution together.
Thank you very much, Matt Clayman. Now let's go to Challenger Ernie Hall. 1 minute for an opening statement, and then we'll give you some questions.
Thank you. My name is Ernie Hall. I'm excited about being a part of this election process. I'm an individual that has worked in this community for a great number of years. Raised my family here. My grandkids all live here. I've always been involved in the economic development side of the community, with the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. I've served on multiple nonprofits and boards and commissions inside the community. I served a 2.5-year term on the State Board of Education. And in all of those positions, I've always raised myself to a leadership position in those. I'm the owner of a small business company for in excess of 35 years. I employ people from a low of a dozen to sometimes as high as 30 individuals. We do custom manufacturing of casework. And during that period of time, the one thing that I have always learned is there's times that due to the economy, you have to absolutely be a bit conservative in the approach that you take in order to be able to survive. And I've learned that same process in my involvement with the private sector here in the community, with the service on different boards. When I came on board with the Anchorage for Rendezvous, it's an organization that was in dire financial straits, and I came in, took a leadership position there, and working with a great board and the entire community, we were able to identify what the faults were with it and worked hard to change them. And I'm very pleased to say that we turned it around, not only where it's accepted by the community, and actually the community's fallen back in love with it, but we've put it in a very strong financial position so that we're not even relying on a line of credit from year to year to be able to operate it. So I'd like to take some of those skills that I've learned through all of those experiences and bring it to the assembly level and help move this city into the future.
Well, Mr. Hall, then I guess thinking about financial straits, how exactly would you like to see the city proceed to meet the challenges of the next year?
With the feeling that I've got about the state of the economy nationally as well as locally, we always seem to trend behind the national economy, and I think we're beginning to see that come to fruition in this economic downturn. In the lower 48, jobs are extremely difficult to find. And so far, we've been relatively fortunate in this community, although we are beginning to see a downturn. So I think the city's going to have to be very cautious in the approach that it takes moving into the next two, maybe 3 years. I'm very cautious about spending money that we don't have, and I'm very cautious about the tax burden that is carried by a community that's feeling a bit of a recession. So I think that we're at that point to where a bit of a conservative approach is going to be necessary.
Okay, before we continue, I just want to remind the audience that if you miss part of the program and you want to catch up, you can find it at KSKA or KSKA.org, where we'll get it up audio as quickly as we can. Mr. Hall, what are the two or three most important things facing your specific district?
Well, always the ability to interface with the airport and projects that are being developed in the Anchorage Airport, they impact our district greatly. It's also the economic engine, one of the greater economic engines in the community. And when we see a downturn in the economy, such as FedEx and UPS laying off pilots, then we feel that impact directly in the economic sector of our community. I think making sure that our infrastructure, our streets are well maintained. And again, I think that the ambulance that we're looking at putting into the fire station, there is a critical part. If you happen to have a need of an emergency that you need, an ambulance and an EMT, time is everything.
Should the municipality seek other tax revenues besides the property tax stress? Go for a sales tax?
Well, I either had the good fortune or the misfortune in the year 2000 of chairing the committee that was opposed to Prop 4, which would have capped the mill rate at 10 mills, which would have caused the municipality to lose approximately 40% of its funding. And what we did during that campaign, which lasted about 7 months, was we literally engaged the community itself, individuals, about what the impact would be if that proposition passed. And the reality was, you don't want same-day fire service. You want fire service in a matter of minutes. If you have the need for an ambulance, an EMT, you want that to be very prompt as well. So I think what we got to do is engage this community in a conversation about what the real benefits would be of putting in some type of a nominal sales tax. I think that we also missed the boat by the fact that we have tourists come through this community, and we really gain no revenue other than the bed tax and a car rental tax. So I think there's some opportunities there, but what we've got to do, instead of it coming from the administration and the assembly down, I think it needs to engage the community in a conversation and let it come from grassroots up, that we're ready as a community to look at alternative revenue sources.
Sticking with property taxes, is the assessment process fair, or at least as fair as it can be? Is it accurate and fair? And is the appeal process fair?
I think I would answer both of those in the positive from what I've done recently, and that I've had to have some properties appraised. The appraisals are coming in very, very close to what the assessments on my properties are. And I think that the appeals process is a fair process in that, there's a fee to file the appeal, but if you're successful and win the appeal, then, of course, you get the feedback for filing the appeal. So I think there's a fair process in place, yes. I have no problem with that.
We just had the two deaths of chronic inebriate homelessness, or homeless. What do you think would be the best course to pursue in helping? Does the housing first look like a viable solution?
From the information that I've got, yes, we need to get some type of housing to get these people off the streets and out of the dumpsters, as we just had an incident occur here last week. It would appear from the information provided that there's actually a cost savings by providing housing for these individuals. There's a lot of research being done on that, a fair amount of time spent into researching it. And I think when we get down to the end of the day, we're just going to have to base it on the economics. But I think the thing that's more important to any of us than the bottom line economics, though, is literally the safety of people. We can't continue to have individuals dying in our streets.
Local government is formally, nominally nonpartisan, yet frequently the public perceives it as behaving in a partisan manner. How do you explain the discrepancy?
Well, you know, as Mr. Klayman just explained, on the majority of the issues, the Assembly is pretty much in lockstep. However, sometimes it may be that one small percentage that really does tend to separate not only the Assembly but the community as well. And when you're sitting on the outside looking in, that partisanship can seem pretty strong on occasion. And I think it's important that a community have absolute confidence in their leadership, elected leadership, the mayor, the assembly. I think they need to present the image, not only the image, but they need to literally let the community know that they can have confidence in them, that they are working together and they're pulling to make this a better community for us all to live and work in, and they are there for the betterment of the lives of each of the individuals that live there. So I would love to see us get to the point to where that was less of an issue.
Len?
Anchorage is becoming an increasingly diverse city, but in a recent assessment that was just released by the United Fund and other organizations involving 1,800 interviews of residents, 52% said there's racism in the city. How are we doing at creating a sense of community in Anchorage?
Well, I happen to serve on the United Way board, so I'm well aware of that that survey that was run, and as well as the results of it. And we obviously have a way to go yet in order to make everyone in this community feel that they are readily accepted and truly a part of it. And that's something that, again, I think is done by real conversation with the community, meeting in groups, having conversations about how we can raise the bar in regards to how we accept other individuals within the community. And, you know, there's no doubt that to some degree some of the violence that we've been seeing recently tends to probably cause people to have some concern in regards to different groups. So it's really going to involve educating the community, getting the community to work together, and deciding that we can do better.
Thank you, Ernie Hall. Next question. Are we spending about the right amount on police protection, or do we need to spend more?
Well, I think currently we're probably spending about the right amount. I, too, have a concern in regards that we're able to continue to fill the positions as they come open inside of our police and fire department. I do see where there may be some opportunities in recruitment in that regards, because as you're watching the national news, there's a number of states and cities in the lower 48 that are having serious deficits in their budgets. And in doing that, they're having to do severe cutbacks in their education as well as their safety. So there are layoffs occurring in police departments and fire stations. And these are the types of things that could possibly create an opportunity for recruitment for us to bring individuals up to fill those positions. Ideally, we would be able to come up with the funding and have our own police and fire academies and hire from within, because we have a desperate need to make sure that the jobs that come available in this community are filled by individuals that live within our own community.
How threatening do you feel our natural gas situation is, and what is the role of the Assembly, if any, in coping with it?
Well, our our energy situation is more than serious. It's dead serious at this point. We know that next year NSTAR is going to have a 25% shortage. In 2012-2013, Chugach Electric is in the same position. Municipal Light and Power is the only one that really has substantial gas contracts running through 2015. We know that if we started a gas pipeline today, even if it was a bullet line, that's a five-year project. So that puts us out to where, best-case scenario, we would possibly have some source coming in, but we know that's not going to start today. So it would appear, as sad as it may seem, that we may end up importing gas. It would appear the legislature is passing legislation to provide storage for natural gas here if we do have to import it. That also would be very useful when we do develop the gas pipeline to provide gas to our community, because we'll need those storage facilities at the same time. But, you know, I think we are truly past critical to almost to the crisis stage in regards to energy for our community.
Okay. Very quickly, what can the Assembly do to improve the local economy? Related question.
Well, I think the Assembly can do a lot about that. I served on the Anchorage Economic Development Board for 6 years. I chaired it for a year, and we saw a number of opportunities where we had a chance to bring businesses into this community, but we have no incentives to offer them. And in a lot of communities, all an incentive is maybe some sort of a tax abatement or tax relief for a number of years. It's critical to have an educated workforce, and we certainly have the ability to provide that with the university system and the K through 12 system that we have here. But I think the Assembly has the ability to make some decisions in regards to whether we want to create those incentives. I think we need to be able to give Anchorage Economic Development Corporation the ability to go out and really negotiate contracts. The biggest thing that we ran into before was you would identify the possibility of a new business. By the time you got it here, worked through all of the difficulties of trying to identify it, they had already located someplace else and been operating for a month.
Thank you, Ernie Hall. We'll come back to you for a closing statement. Now let's go to our opening statement for Bill Sigler.
I would appreciate it if you would vote for Bill Sigler on April the 6th when you go into the voting booth. I began to run because a number of my friends were not satisfied with the choices on the ballot. And I enjoy a reputation for frugality and answering questions as straightforwardly as possible, a certain transparency, I hope. I guess what I've discovered is kind of like we've got this, I call it a football game, where I'm the football and these other people who are involved carry me down the field, and occasionally I get dropped and occasionally I get picked up. They make T-shirts. We made a bunch of signs yesterday. We seem to be enjoying ourselves. I don't know how many votes we're going to get in the end, but we hope that a message of fiscal conservancy, even more conservative than somebody else talked about, which is I think we should not only not spend money we don't have, but we shouldn't spend some of the money we have. There's $2 trillion worth of debt, commercial paper, that's going to come due in the next few years. And as others have pointed out, we're on the tail end of the dog when it comes to certain kinds of things. 5 out of 6 houses on my street corner for sale, but only one person's got the nerve to put their house on the market, and they're asking too much and sat there for a while. I'd appreciate if you'd vote for Bill Sigler.
Mr. Sigler, picking up on the property tax issue, do you think the assessment process is accurate, or is at least as accurate as it can be, and the appeal process fair for homeowners?
I spent some time as a real estate broker, and the kind of impression that generally goes on is that the assessment value may or may not enjoy some relationship to the real value, particularly in a falling market where they're using historical data to determine the value of the property. I have been through a number of appeals. It's a little bit like a kangaroo court. I have won. I think I've won all the ones I've done, but it's kind of like you never know for sure if you're going to get a fair shake. And I've helped other people. Sometimes they'll give you what you want, and then they'll jack up their neighbor's rates even more because you use them as comps. So you might get your taxes down, but then your neighbors are going to be grousing because their taxes went up because you said, well, this guy's only $78,000. How come you're taxing me for $150,000?
How will you vote on the bond propositions?
I'll vote no on all the bond propositions. Another one of the platform visions that I have is that we just need to start saying no. I see the chronic inebriate problem and some of the bureaucracy in city government very much like pest control. And the easiest way to solve the problem is to cut off the food supply. In the case of the alcoholics, we need to come up with a notion of just saying no at the corner. People shouldn't give them money. And when it comes to the city and how much money we got and how much we're going to spend, we should just say no. Things are going to be tight.
What do you think then the Assembly should, if anything, should try to do concerning the chronic inebriate homeless and the housing first? Is that an option in your mind?
Well, my son has lived in Anchorage on the street as a drunk. I call them drunks, not chronic inebriates. And I spent enough time at the Hickel Mall there, the REI Caribou Mall, to see these guys who work the street corners, and then they stay out and drink all night, and then they're always looking for a place to sleep in the morning. And I don't see that as helping them. I think the Red Roof Inn, if that's the right characterization for it, is a great idea. I do not see it as a function of government. I think the Salvation Army or the Catholic Church or the Lutherans or Presbyterians or the Muslims can all get involved, but I don't think the city government should be involved in it. It's a Mother Teresa said, the poor are always going to be with us. The drunks are always going to be with us.
Local government is nominally nonpartisan, but frequently it appears to be partisan to the citizens who watch it. What do you think? How do you explain that?
People who I can't name all the people in the Assembly off the top of my head, but if you toss a name at me, by and large, to say, oh, yeah, he tends to lean to the right. Oh, yeah, he hangs out. You see people drinking coffee with people. Oh, yeah, they're on the left side. It wouldn't surprise me that they vote the thing and seem the thing. So even though nominally it's nonpartisan, in fact, it represents, to a certain extent, right and left. I mean, I think the mayor's position is nonpartisan, but the last mayor, ran as a Democrat for the Senate, and a couple of mayors back, the other mayor ran and was as a Democrat for the governor, and then a couple people have run as Republicans. It's not like they're not wearing gang colors, but you know what they are.
Len?
Do you think the residents of the West Side, as you talk to them, feel safe? And if not, what sort of thing could the Assembly do to make them feel safer and stick to a budget?
Stick the people on the West Side, for them to stick to a budget?
Well, no, I mean the city in general.
Well, the city in general should look more carefully at the money they spend. My analogy is for those people, you've been through teenagers, and they get in some kind of scheme, and I'll call it a scheme, just like taxation and giving the city bureaucracy money, where they want so much money, and then they come to you on Thursday, and they say, well, you know, it's all gone, and I'm supposed to go out tomorrow night. You know, it's like, well, that's what we got the budget for. You know, if you don't have money for this or that, then you need to figure out what you're going to cut. Don't talk to me. I'm not the person that knows the best ways to run a police department or the best way to run parks and recreation. That's what you guys are getting all that money for. We're going to give you so much. If you run out, then don't come crying to me about how your roof leaks.
What can the Assembly do to improve the economy?
I don't think the Assembly can do anything to improve the economy, with the possible exception of trying to make permitting processes for whatever notion evolves for any additional gas to come into the city. I talked to a friend of mine about, well, let's see, now we're coming up on 95 years of the city of Anchorage since 1915. Can you tell me any jobs the city has created? And, you know, we spent all this money. We have Anchorage Economic Development. The governments don't create jobs, not in my mind. Somebody was telling me, well, what about the guy that was pouring the concrete or the snowplow people are hauling that snow away before it melts? And I'm thinking, well, we could hire somebody to break windows in City Hall and pay them, and then we could pay somebody to fix the windows. Those aren't jobs we're creating. That's money we're bleeding out of the people of the West Side and the rest of town.
Once again, I'm Michael Carey. I'm here with Len Anderson as my co-host. We're meeting the candidates for Assembly Seat D, and the candidate we're talking to right now is Bill Sigler. Len.
Do you think the Kinnick Arm Bridge project is a viable thing, and should it involve any public money backing it or building it?
Well, my crystal ball is broken, and every time I try to get it back, they can't find the parts. So whether or not I think it's viable doesn't make much sense to me. 6 weeks ago, nobody cared whether or not I thought it was viable, and 6 weeks ago, I didn't know if it was viable, and I don't know now. I am opposed to any public money being spent because it just doesn't make sense. I mean, we tried this thing with the incentive. We're going to build a fish plant on Raspberry Road right next to that big salmon stream. So we built that for $54 million. That was the state money. And then we sold the church for 20 cents on the dollar. And now they have the largest, whatever that white thing is, in the state. And that's great because when my tourists come, I say, see that big white thing? That's the largest one in the state. It's like an indoor or outdoor gym thing. And, of course, for the famous dairy farm project and the grain silos and the $28 million train station, I've been across that train track better part of 1,000 times. I have never seen a train. And, of course, it was just grant money. It wasn't our money. But it's just a typical example to me of the government saying, boy, we got an idea. Mr. Hall's a businessman. He knows. He's the guy that's got the ideas about doing things in business, not the city assembly.
Okay. Curbside recycling is spreading throughout Anchorage. I'd like to ask you, and it's in many neighborhoods now, is it working, and what's the public response been?
I see a mixed public response. I try to recycle whenever I can, and trash is a problem. We're coming up on Trash Day. I am not in favor of a government-mandated recycling program. When I was a kid, the Boy Scouts got money for getting cans. I'm not sure what they're doing now.
Should the municipality look to a sales tax or something like that to relieve property tax?
I don't think so. I think nobody likes taxation, and if we're already torturing the victim, I don't see we need to figure out a new way to try and gouge him in the rear while we're sticking him in the front.
Should the builders, along with the others who are involved in the municipality involved with the Title 21, should this be slowed down? Should it be stopped? Should it be speeded up? What should we do?
Well, I'd be in favor of stopping until I looked at it more closely. I think we may be helping old ladies across the street that don't want to go.
Len?
In what way? It was designed to perhaps help improve the building structures. Are you saying that no one is interested in that?
I think people are interested in building structures, but right now we got buildings up the yin-yang that got all the nice structure they want, but they're empty. So I think before we start throwing new things in the path of them that want to build and make it more difficult, we need to look carefully whether or not our grand schemes really fit into a rational expectation of what builders can do and not, and for them to be economically viable. I mean, that building, I think they call it the 188, and you see in the newspaper, oh, yeah, there's a shortage of Class A office space in Anchorage. The columnist, the real estate guy, writes that thing, and I respect him. I don't know him personally. He writes good stuff, but every time I try to drive by that building and look at all those empty things, I say, well, you know, what he's saying doesn't jibe. And I see Title 21 as potentially interfering with people who want to build things, and we've already got them overpriced.
You've talked about cutting the budget and living within our means and reducing expenditures. If we're going to do that, what should we do quite specifically to cut the budget?
Well, I think the hiring freeze helps. I don't know what bureaucrats get involved to implement the infliction of the bond money after it comes along, but I oppose the bonds. And I don't like to spend money, but there seems to be such a hoo-ha about the union contracts and the mayor's insurance policy that a lot of people feel somewhat scandalized, or at least the newspaper feels they're scandalized, so they put it on the front page. It might be worthwhile looking at that. I know it's not answering your question, but it's dead air time.
How serious do you think our natural gas situation is?
Well, I use a wood stove, I got mine. I'm not sure about other people and what their plans are. I see an awful lot of people who spend an awful lot of their winter hanging around their house in T-shirts. And when I was growing up, we wore sweaters inside because gas didn't grow on trees, and Daddy didn't care much for giving money away to the gas company. And if gas becomes more expensive, then people wear sweaters.
What did we learn from the equal rights debate last summer that went on for a number of weeks before the assembly?
I don't know what we learned.
What did you learn then?
Well, two of my children are Native, so I am familiar with a certain racism that I see towards Natives in our community. You don't hear the N jokes up here using the Southern characterization for people of that get discriminated against. Up here, you hear the native jokes from some members of the non-native community. I think discrimination deplorable, certainly not polite, but I'm not sure that we can pass a law that makes people polite. I would like to see people stop giving money to the drunks on the street corner. When we go in and out of a door at Clyde Brothers or Safeway or wherever you open a door, people say, please, thank you. You open the door for the first person. It's a custom. We need to establish a custom of being polite and not discriminating and not giving money to drunks.
Thank you. Now we'll go into our closing statement segment, starting with Matt Klayman. 1 minute, please.
Thank you very much for inviting us for a very interesting discussion. You know, one of the first things that happened when I was elected to the Assembly was Chief Justice Roberts of the U.S. Supreme Court came and spoke in Fairbanks, and I was fortunate to hear him speak. And one of the things he described was that when the 9 justices on the Supreme Court meet, they don't always agree on things, but when they meet in conference, they shake hands around the room because they recognize that they are engaged in a common endeavor to make our country a better place to live. And I realized that this was a custom that I would bring to the Assembly, and so each Tuesday night before the Assembly starts meeting, I go around and shake hands with every single person on the Assembly, because even though we may not agree on everything, we are engaged in a common endeavor, and that common endeavor is to make our community a better place to live, work, and raise a family. And I have been engaged in that endeavor since being elected to the Assembly. I would like to keep serving on the Assembly because of the experience I bring to that role. I want my experience to keep working for the people of West Anchorage. I would really appreciate your vote on April 6th, and I would encourage everyone to get to the polls on April 6th and vote. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt Klayman. Ernie Hall, 1 minute, please.
Yes. Thank you for hosting us this evening, having us here, being able to share this information. You know, I'm a 49-year resident of this community, and I love it. I don't think there is a community any place on the face of the earth that has greater opportunity than we do right here. And there's nothing that I would more enjoy than having you support me in this election to give me the opportunity to work with you to make this community the great city that it is and can be even greater. There's nothing I want more than to be able to ensure that my grandkids and your grandkids have the same opportunities that I've had. And there's nothing that gives me greater pleasure than to be able to take my grandkids to a facility like the Performing Arts Center, have them enjoy The Lion King to the same quality that it would be on a stage in New York City. So if you give me your support, help me, work with me, I promise you I will work my heart out to make this city everything that it possibly can be. I'd appreciate your vote. My name's Ernie Hall, running for West Anchorage Seat D.
Thank you. And the last candidate in this race, Bill Sigler.
My informal campaign headquarters more or less takes place at the Tidal Wave Claudi Brothers, who doesn't endorse me, but they have a big sign up there that says they are committed to community, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate their courtesy, and I appreciate the enthusiasm of the Jackie's restaurant owner who gave me the Jackie's Place shirt, and the young APU student, Ellen, who took the stencil that Steve Nigel put on there, and my photographer friend Dave, who has been just a huge help, and of course Jed and a few others, people who make copies at work on their machine. It has just been incredibly heartwarming to be involved with a group of people who are so enthusiastic. And the people come in and they say they hate so-and-so and they wouldn't vote for that person if they were the last man on earth, and I give them a choice. I guess I'm the second last man on earth. I'd appreciate it if you'd vote for Bill Sigler.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sigler. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be right back with the candidates for CDEF.